We're continuing in our leadership series, Led to Lead, and today I want to speak to you about the secret to success. So as we get started, let me ask you a couple of questions. How many of you would rate yourself as being successful? Any hands? Couple of hands. All right. How many of you would like to be more successful? Okay. All right. Now, I want to throw in a caveat here in that when we're talking about success, we're not necessarily talking about success in terms of the way the world describes success. We often will see news stories, so the most latest being Matthew Perry, someone who we would consider to be a success, who in a moment of weakness, a moment of despair, would perhaps take his own life. And we've seen often that people who are famous and people who we would consider to be successful don't view themselves in that way. They've gone and they've achieved what the world would describe as success, only to find that it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't fulfill them. And so we're talking about a different type of success. But everybody wants to be a success. I don't know of anybody who, you know, when you're in high school or whatever, they say, what do you want to be in the future? And they say, I want to be a failure. I've never heard anybody say that, you know. And as a matter of fact, in my day, you know, back before electricity, they would, one of the rankings that they would take would be, you know, most likely to succeed. And so they would pick some student who was most likely to become successful. I don't know that those things ever came true, but success is something important. It's something that we aspire to. Our passage comes to us this morning from Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Let me set the backdrop for this. Moses is dead. Now, Moses had led the children of Israel for some 40 years, and they had wandered through the desert. They had been given the promise of a land that they would inhabit, and because of their sinfulness and their disobedience to God, that whole generation was denied the opportunity to go into what was called the promised land. And so, but the next generation, their children, were granted that privilege. And so when Moses died, God chose Joshua to become their leader. And so here is God's word to Joshua. He says this, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Here, very simply put, is the secret to success. We could, in fact, close the service and send you all home. But let me break that down for you a little bit, because we say, well, we just have to, you know, just read the Bible and then we can be successful. According to a survey conducted by the Pew Research Center, only 35% of American adults who identify as Christians read the Bible at least once a week. Only 35%. So about one in three read the Bible once a week. The same survey also revealed that 45% of American Christians seldom or never read the Bible. It is interesting that if you go out and you were to poll people and ask them what their opinion of the Bible is, they would give you their opinion. But the majority of the people that would give you opinion, if you were to pursue it a little further, if you were to ask them, have you read the Bible? Their answer would be no. If they were to be honest, they would say no. And they often will say something like, it's too difficult to understand. But having never read the Bible, how do they know it's too difficult to understand? There might be somebody who has said something, misquoted something, used something out of context or whatever to describe what is in Scripture. And so they just take that and they run with it. Most of us have Bibles, multiple Bibles, maybe, in our houses. The Bible is considered to be the best-selling book of all time. It's readily available, particularly here in the United States. And in the United States, most of us, the majority of the population considered themselves to be Christian, although that is changing. And yet, this one book, which is the basis for Christianity, which has the story of Christianity, which has the definition of Christianity, is often ignored. It isn't read. I don't want to embarrass anybody and ask you if you read your Bible this week, or maybe for some of you, the only time you'll read a verse is when you come to church. But the reality is most people do not read the Scripture. We talked about leadership, and we talked about the fact that leadership is influence. We also talked about the fact that the leadership is really serving. To be a leader, you need to be a servant. Jesus Christ was a great example of being a servant, and yet he was a leader. He was the king. He is the king. And yet he took on the very form of a man and became a servant. He washed his disciples' feet. He became a servant even unto death so that we might experience salvation, so that we might experience the forgiveness of our sins. And so that is the model that we have of success. And so Jesus was never rich. He oftentimes was rebuked, was ridiculed, was questioned, and was even put to death. But yet, in God's view, in God's economy, he was successful. He was successful in that he was able to redeem mankind from the grip of sin and death and give them the hope and the promise of eternal life. So leadership is influence. And so when we first began the service before we began this series, I asked the question, how many of you would consider yourself a leader? And I'm not sure if anybody actually raised their hand. But we broke that down and said, if you have influence over someone, then you are a leader. If somebody looks to you for guidance, if somebody looks to you for advice, if somebody looks to you for suggestions, if somebody looks to you, if they look to you for influence, then you are a leader. And so let me ask you a couple of questions. Number one, are you a church leader? Are you a church leader? Maybe you're here and you're a leader in this church. Number two, are you a parent? If you're a parent, you are a leader. Your kids may not think so, but you are. Are you a coworker? Are you someone at work that people come to for advice? Are you a friend? Are you a teacher? Now, how many of you would like to be better at those things? How many of you would like to be a better parent? How many of you would like to be a better friend? How many of you would like to be a better teacher, better leader, a better coworker? So let me ask you this question. Can any one of you quote one verse from the Bible to help you in those areas? If you want to be a better parent, can you quote a verse that would help you to be a better parent? Can you quote a verse that is the guiding principle behind your parenting? If you're a teacher, can you quote a verse that is the guiding principle behind the way you teach? If you're a worker, can you quote a guiding principle, quote a verse that describes your attitude towards your work? If you're a church leader, what is the verse that guides you? Do you have one? Can you say one? You see, the reality is that most of us as Christians, we have a Bible and we go to church, but we, in reality, we don't have verses that guide the way we lead, that guide the way we influence. I mean, we know some verses, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's a great verse. I recommend it. If you don't know it, you should know it. But we don't have verses that we quote. For example, you want to be better with your finances? Quote a verse that is your guiding principle for how you earn money and how you spend money. You say, well, there probably aren't any verses. In the New Testament, there are over 2,000 verses that have to do with money. You want to be successful with money? See what the Bible has to say about money. As a matter of fact, that's one of the areas in Scripture where God gave us a promise. He said, test me in this and see if I won't bless you. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and bless you. There are verses in the Bible that tell us how to be a better parent. So what does God say to Joseph about the steps to success? First of all, know the word. Know the word. How do you know the word? You have to read the word. In order to know the word, you have to read the word. And I will grant you, I will agree with you, if you were to say that the Bible is hard to read, I will agree with you. You say the Bible is hard to understand, I will agree with you. It is. Why? Why is it so? Because there is an enemy that is trying to keep you from it. And so when you sit down to read the Bible, your mind wanders, you become distracted, you get discouraged reading it because you say, I just read a whole passage and I have no idea what it means. I don't know what I read. And so you put it away. But it says to know the word. You have to know the word. Secondly, you have to speak the word. You have to speak the word. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Always on your lips. In other words, quote it, recite it, memorize it. Meditate on it. Meditate on the word. Number three. What does that mean? It means to chew on it, to think about it. To just rather than just read it and for the sake of having read it. You know, we often do that. Well, as we're coming up on the new year, we're going to set New Year's resolutions perhaps, and we'll say, you know, well, I want to do this or I want to do that. And maybe for some, it'll be, I want to read the Bible. And so we read it, and we think we have read it once we have read a certain portion of Scripture. So I want to read a chapter a day. So you read it and you get through the end of the chapter having no idea what you just read, No understanding of what you just read, but what do? You mark it off. I read it for the day. I did my thing. Anybody been there? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been there. We've read the word, but we don't know the word. Why? Because we haven't meditated on it. It would be better for you to take a short phrase and to chew on it and to meditate on it and to have it become a part of your vocabulary and a part of your life than it would be to read chapter upon chapter upon chapter upon chapter and not have an understanding of what you've read. It's not about how much you read, but how much you can consume. You need to meditate on the word. What is it trying to say? What is it teaching me? Is there anything in this that I need to heed? Is there something I need to obey? Is there something I need to change? Is there a sin that I need to confess? What is it saying to me? You see, you can't know the word, you can't speak the word, you have to know the word, you have to speak the word, you have to meditate on the word before you can obey the word. You can read the Bible and get up and not obey it, particularly if you don't understand what you just read. And that's what knowing the word and speaking the word and meditating the word ultimately leads to, and that's obedience. In Proverbs 2, 6 through 8, I'm jumping down, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth came knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones." From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You want to be more knowledgeable? You want to have greater understanding? You want to be success? Know the word of God. He also says to Joshua, be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous about what? About your dedication to the word, about your obedience. It takes strength to know the word and to speak the word. Why? Because our tendency is to put it down. Our tendency is not to pick up the Bible. It takes strength to get up in the morning and the first thing you do before you turn on the TV, before you go to social media, before you do any of it, it takes strength to grab the word of God. I know, because I struggle with that. It's easy to get caught up in things that would entertain us than it is to get up and to grab the word of God and to devour it and to begin to read it in such a way that we glean from the depths of what it has to say. Reading the Word of God is not meant to be a mindless activity. And there are a lot of things that help us with reading the Word. Some of us will get a verse on our phone every morning, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, do we just read it? No, okay, I'm done. Now let's see how many likes I got on that post I posted last night before I went to bed. Do we devour the Word of God? Do we ingest it? Do we speak it? Do we recall it during the day? Does it guide our steps? Does it guide our life? Does it guide our principles? Sadly, for most of us, it doesn't. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone. I'm just stating a fact. We are a small church. And so on one hand, some would say that we're, you know, not a successful church because we don't have a lot of numbers. And maybe there's some truth to that. I don't know. But what I see happening in our culture is that to be a successful church and to get the numbers, we have to entertain. And we have to have the latest and greatest technology. And we have to have the best singers and the best musicians. We have to have what the term now, rock star preachers. We have to have all of these things to attract people. We have to have a lot of parties and a lot of events. And yet we see that happening all across our nation. And yet, the reality is, while maybe some churches are getting bigger, lots of churches are closing. They're talking about a crisis in pastoral ministry in which the average age of the American pastor is over 58 years old. And there are not enough younger ones coming out to replace them. There's a trend for people to deny their faith, to having grown up in a church, to leave their faith, to walk away from it. There's a new category of person. It used to be the churched and the unchurched, and now it's the churched and the unchurched and the nuns. The nuns are the people who have no affiliation whatsoever. When you ask them, you know, do you believe? What do you believe? I believe in nothing. And so there's a whole generation of people that just declare no affiliation with the church or with God. And so we see that Christianity is on the decline. Even though we have fancier ways to draw people in, we have better communication now. We have the internet. You can listen to a sermon every hour of the day, all day long. There's all this stuff that's available. And yet we're falling away. You say, well, how is that? And so people are coming up with all these new ideas to attract people to the faith or attract people to church. You say, well, I don't understand. Maybe it's because we've neglected the Word of God. There are churches now, one of the trends, and I read, you know, leadership forums and stuff like that. And so one of the trends in pastoral ministry is for pastors to actually use swear words during their sermon so that they appear to be more relevant to people. And so their language has become a little bit more street or vulgar. See, we're coming up with all these gimmicks, but God said, if you want to be successful, pay attention to my word. The interesting thing is that when this was given to Joshua, how many books of the Bible did they have at that time? Really, none. I mean, they had the law. That was it. They had the Mosaic Law. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the story of Jesus. They didn't have very much at all. We have so much more. And yet, in reality, we ignore it. I mean, what would happen if as a church we really tried to know the Word? If we began to meditate on it, what would happen if we studied it, if we spoke it to each other, if we allowed the Word to become the guiding principle for how we live and how we work and how we relate to one another? What if we actually knew the Word in such a way so that we could obey it? Psalm 19, 7 through 14 is a beautiful psalm. And I would like to read it. It describes, the psalmist describes the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. There it is. The secret to success is to know the Word, to read the Word, to obey the Word, to allow the Word to come into us and to take over every aspect of our life and our being. Simpler said than done, but there it is. We've shared with you a couple of times about John Maxwell, one of the considered one of the leadership gurus. He's written over 50 books on leadership. He's well known. And we've shared with you that when he is pressed and asked, where did he get that understanding of leadership? He says, it all came from Scripture. It all came from the Bible. So what if 100% of our church began to really study the Bible? What if we spent 30% of the time that we give to media studying the Bible? What if we dedicated 2024 as the year of the Bible in our church? It would buck the cultural trend. What if we stopped trying to entertain people and just said, we're going to just focus on the Word and what the Word has to say? What if we did less events that try to reach people and just became people who know the Word? What if we stopped listening to the news and reading social media and all of the books and things that tell us what's going wrong in the world? What if we just gave up some of that to read the Bible. We all know the world is going to hell. Let's be honest. We know. We don't need to have more reasons to know that that is true. We know that. We can see it around us. So we don't need to know more about government corruption. We know it exists. And knowing more about it and knowing the details of it aren't going to change the way we live. And we're not going to be able to do anything to change it. But knowing the Word of God promises success. Promises success in God's eyes. And isn't that what we're striving for? To someday, as we stand before God, to have Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So what if we buck the trend and we decided for ourselves, you know what? I'm going to pursue this so that I can understand and see what success is like. The interesting thing is, as I was reading, researching this and seeing these surveys, that more than half of the people surveyed said that they believed that the Bible is the Word of God. That's encouraging. Then if that's the case, then how come so few of us actually read it? It doesn't make sense. How come so few of us actually know it? If we truly believe that it is the Word of God. So I didn't say this. This isn't for me. But the secret to success, according to God, is to know His Word, to study His Word, to personalize His Word, and to obey His Word. That's it. That's it. So I've tried all kinds of other things, my ideas, my dreams, whatever. A lot of it really, to be honest with you, hasn't worked out. So maybe in whatever time I have left, I'll get it right. And I'll seek the Word. And I hope that you'll join me. And that maybe together we can truly see what success is. Let's pray. Father, it's so simple and yet it's so hard to do. It's so contrary to our human and sinful nature to just take what You have said and to make application in our lives. We want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. We want to try our own stuff. And yet You have said, just know My Word and do what it says, and you will be successful. We pray, God, that You would give us the courage and the strength to know Your Word, to meditate on Your Word, to speak Your Word, and to obey Your Word. And as a result, may we truly begin to experience the success that you intended for us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.